This program is available on this quality radio services: Replay Radio, Breeze Radio, Talk Radio X, Audio Boo, Spreaker, Absence Radio, Nonstop Radio, plus the leading tablets, phones and PCs.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
R-T-I. Have mercy, Mr. Attitude. Eric Wiltshire.
And a warm welcome to Postcard from Popbrad on a freezing cold day. It was me bits were cold this morning. This is Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, talking to you from a nice warm studio. Well, it's not warm actually, because some numpty forgot to put the heating on in the studio. But never mind, I will soldier on with our alternative look at the news with my co-hosts and proud presenters, and all-round good eggs, stalwarts of the airwaves. It starts off with him who's over on the zit of the nose of Europe, Lee Banks.
I'm a good egg. Thank you for saying.
Well, I you didn't cough.
I didn't, no. And Rachel's a bit cracked. So, yeah, I agree with you all the way around.
He took my joke. you talk while I think of another.
Really?
I'll for me. Yeah. Well, it is no joke when somebody steals your joke, is it? And, and then it's got a fragile eggshell.
Who is?
That's a beautiful statement to say about a woman.
Oh, is it?
He's got a fragile eggshell mind.
Who?
Rachel.
Oh, Rachel, I was wondering, you didn't really quantify what you were saying there.
Well, she just told me to say it, didn't she? So I did. It's actually attributed to Jim Morrison, 1969.
Is it?
A fragile eggshell mind.
Oh, are you living in the past again?
Well, I am, yeah. I'm living in the village of the damned, isn't I? So we've not gone beyond 1954 here.
Yeah, probably. And hello, Rach!
Hello, I'm a double yoker, but feeling a bit scrambled, but that's all right.
Well, we know why, boys and girls, because Rach has been hobnobbing with lovies.
And she's shown her fried eggs.
Yes.
Yes.
And as you'll find out...
Well, no, I didn't...
as you'll find out during the programme, Lee will be complaining about the slightly colder UK.
I'm hot.
Are you?
It's really hot. It's very dark, very grey. It's a grey day in great old Grey Britain, but it's really warm. I'm sitting here in my... I've got Eric's disease now.
Yeah, but at least I've got an excuse.
Because you got no teeth still.
Hello. And I'm going to rant on later, because there's a numpty talking about weight loss again, and I have my cure. More television. That's the secret. More television. And I will reveal the current weight.
Whoa.
Later on in the programme. Which is going to be very difficult, because if Rob's there, we did start
this... That's what I'm thinking. That's when you can do the cameo, because he can tell you what's happened to him while he's been in the Pilbara.
Yes, because we did have a challenge on the down bit, didn't we?
We did.
We did, and we haven't updated it. So now Rob's back. We'll have a cameo from Rob and find out who's the winner so far.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just a minute. Are we going up or are we going down?
Eh?
You just said you had a bet on the down bit.
Yeah.
And now we're on the up.
We are.
Well, what we're doing, going down or going up?
We're going down on that bit and we're going up because we're going into the news.
But we're going down again because it's the sad news.
This is true.
There's nothing wrong with going down.
Stop it.
You started it.
This is very... Well, actually... No, I can't say it. Anyway, a gentleman called Bernard Jury, better known to the world as Alvin Stardust.
My Cuckoo.
Yeah.
I don't know who this is.
You don't know who Alvin Stardust is?
I've been trying it. People have been saying, don't you know this song? Don't you know that song? I'm like, I really don't. I don't know what's wrong with me.
It was all sort of rock and roll-y sounding.
He was I've got to be honest, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else. I've got to be honest, I've met the man. I knew him quite well. I actually knew his manager, Chrissy, whatever her name was.
Yeah.
I've met him a couple of times. I've got to be honest, I don't like little men with dyed hair, But he actually was a very charming man, and he was really probably more than PJ Proby, the comeback king of British rock and roll. But I don't think he was very good.
Well, actually, originally he was a failed singer, wasn't he?
Well, I think he spent his career being a failed singer.
No, he was a failed singer. He was a failed singer who recreated himself as Alvin Stardust and became part of that glam rock era. And he was just, you know, he was like every mum would have him for dinner person.
Well, yeah, somebody should have met him. He was just like, he was little and dapper and too good-looking and... Yeah, and too thin and too sort of girly.
No, he was the... In the 1960s, it was Sir Cliff, and in the 1970s, it was Alvin Stardust.
Yeah, but he didn't...
Okay, is this the same era as when Bowie was doing all his glammy stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the difference. That's absolutely the difference, Rachel. Bowie was genius. He was a bit of a peer-end show. He was all right.
Was it the PG version of Bowie or something, was it?
Well,
was
no,
it
to be honest, Rach, he was the version of Bowie that had more hits.
He probably did. Probably did, because that's the myopia of the general public who buy things like Agadoo.
I really must say, I don't think that that's true. Because, no. I mean, you know, people like me, living the other side of the planet, who were barely alive when this began, I know exactly who David Bowie is, but I don't never heard of this fella.
See, exactly. I rest my case with you, Rachel.
But you've done Agadoo, haven't you, Rach?
Agadoo.
Is he responsible for that?
No, that was Black Lace.
But that's the level he worked on.
It was that 1970s we go.
No, I came home from an outing to do this, and I'm now leaving.
Anyway, we wish him luck wherever he is. Bless him.
Yeah, good on you. He was one of those people nice lad that should be remembered, but he wasn't very good.
You can't win, can you?
I don't know this person either.
What, Linda?
Oh, no, I bet you do, really. I bet you do.
I bet you do. No.
Bet you do.
No. I bet you do.
Bet you do.
Bet you do.
No.
I'm not doing it again because it'll be boring then.
Okay.
We're just filling up. We're filling up here, aren't we?
Yeah. The British actress and presenter Linda Bellingham, who was brilliant on the TV not that long ago, actually, she became famous as the... rather attractive mum in the old OXO TV ads, which went on
and went all over the world, Rachel.
Yes.
I never saw her. Nah.
You have OXOs, you have OXO lakes.
We had OXO, but we had our own woman doing it.
No. Did you?
How do you know she was your
own? Now we don't have it anymore. We don't have it anymore. She spoke with an Australian accent. She was a brunette and, you know.
Linda Bellingham was an actress. She might have been able to do Australian accents.
Might have done.
Doubtful. Nobody can do it.
No, I can't even do it.
I can't do it. I can't do an Australian accent.
Well, no. Anyway, and more recently, she was absolutely brilliant on ITV's Loose Women. Great sense of humour. Stunning lady. Sadly lost.
Terrible show.
And even though she'd been diagnosed with cancer a couple of years ago, well, a year and a half ago, she actually carried on fundraising for cancer, even though she knew her time was up.
And looking good.
And looking really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Very brave woman. Very brave woman.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful lady. And sadly lost. Sadly lost.
Isn't it funny, though, when you think that this woman actually was famous for making OXO ads and we're all terribly moved by the end of her life by the fact of being her at the end of her life. And I think that, from those inauspicious beginnings to becoming this whatever she is now, apart from dead, is a good thing.
Yeah,
amazing
absolutely
thing.
And I'll tell you what I think is the most outstanding thing that she did as a person, and irrelevant of her on-screen appearances. The closer to the end, once the cancer had gone through to her lungs and liver, she actually said, "No more treatment. I don't want any more, because I'm not going to leave my family suffering longer than they actually have to." And I tell you, that's an amazing thing to do.
It's something that's becoming more and more prevalent in the UK, I think, that people are actually now. It's this suicide thing, isn't it? It's a form of suicide, and it's very controversial. But actually, if you're doing it for the rest of your family and everything, yes, it's a very heroic thing.
Absolutely. This will mean nothing to those down under, apart from the fact we're about to rant. Ladies and gentlemen, in the Australasia region, we are about to rant. Reason being... This is so typical of Europe and opposite to America and Australia.
Yeah.
Such an opposite. And it is an opposite. When you're, you can fail in America, in Australia, and, like, they go, did you learn from it? You go, yes. And they go, good job. Well done. If you're a winner. They do, don't they?
They do.
They absolutely do. Here, you're chastised, you're ostracised, you're the plague if you've lost something.
Yes.
But then the opposite side of it is, that was your blinking egg and bacon sandwich. When you're a winner, when you're a winner, you're just as badly ostracised because everybody's jealous of you.
That's a dog!
That's a dog.
Yeah, that's my dog. I'll put him outside.
I thought that really was my bacon sandwich there.
I was trying to cover it up. Anyway, so now what's happened is the only winner in Europe and it has to be said, yet again, a growing economy as of the few hours before we put this programme together. Because of the fact that the UK is a growing economy, the UK has now got a bill from the European Union for an extra £1.7 billion because it's done well. And guess what?
What?
Some of that money's going to Germany and France.
Hey, I love Germany and France. I'm glad I'm helping them out.
Yeah.
See, you've got to look at it.
Rach, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
Let's put New Zealand and Australia, not together, but together just for the example, right?
Okay.
So Australia's doing really well. NZ's not doing quite so good. And so because you're part of a club, they go, oh, sorry, Australia, you've got to give us another $1 billion. And by the way, we're going to give $200 million to NZ.
Oh.
Yeah, our token response would be up your jumper.
Yeah.
But you do what you want. It's all—it's great that there's an ocean between us and stuff, but nah. Look after yourself. We're all island nations. We're not landlocked. We're not joined by land. We're all girt by sea. So, it's each to their own.
No, I don't mind somebody helping somebody out.
I don't mind either, but we're not going to give. We actually don't have it to give them, even in a hypothetical.
I live in a country where EU grants are available and do get given, and that's not a problem because it's still a burgeoning country. It hasn't got there yet. But the fact of the matter is, all of a sudden, because one EU member state's doing well, which probably should say to the other ones, that's why you're screwing up. It's a fact of life that because they're winning, they get penalised.
Yes, but it's not that way, is it, really?
It is.
All right, then it is. Let's leave it at that.
Conciliatory. That's very unusual.
But it's a typical... I'm going to upset so many people. It's a typical academic situation. There's no carrot. There is only a stick. But, academics live on sticks, not carrots. They don't understand giving people incentives. It doesn't work.
Yeah, but you have to accept.
But
you have to accept, right, that it's a club. It was your words. You chose the words. It's a club.
Yes.
Right? And we willingly joined the club. Nobody held a gun against our heads. I think it was Margaret Thatcher who started it all, wasn't it?
No, it was Ted Heath.
Said Heath, right, yeah, yeah, probably, but I've probably moved on a bit more strongly in the Thatcher era. And we joined that club. We agreed to abide by certain rules. Yeah. We accepted what was given to us. We were idiots, and now we're paying the price. Well, I was having a conversation with somebody who I admire wholly for her intelligence and perceptive views on life. And she
when
was.
When were we talking? When were we talking?
No,
about?
It was subliminal, wasn't it, Rachel? It was while
I know.
I was
hands and brains across the ocean.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, whispering in your cochlea. I was whispering, and yeah. That's her ear.
I know.
No wonder I got an ear infection.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Uncle Lee. Oh, that was a terrible thing to say. That was a cheap shot.
Yeah, it was.
No, it was a really good one. Good. It was nice, Rach. Nice. Yeah.
Anyway,
go on.
So we just, go on. This person was saying that, yes, we have to pay this $1.7 when everybody else is getting payouts. Well, no, we've only just got back on our feet. And then she was saying about the fact that
he's
we've
sniffing
got all
again.
This...
He's sniffing again.
Oh, I'm going on now. And anyway,
you are at home.
I forgot now about immigration and all the trouble we got. But we signed up for it. We actually said we will allow this. We thought it was a wonderful thing. We're going to get all these gorgeous Polish ladies and gorgeous Slovak ladies coming into Britain. And really, what we got was our borders smashed down by everybody who got no money, thinking that they were going to come to a green and pleasant land with streets that are paved with gold. We chose to go along with it, so shut up moaning, Britain, and get on with it.
Oh, missus. Are you there, Rach?
Yeah, I'm shocked, but
so am I.
I'm not shocked at all, actually. No, I'm not. I really don't really understand any of this, but I'll, having said that, I will say this. If you sign up to be in a club, you have to abide by the charter, I guess. And so, you know, yeah, suck it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Trouble is, the charter's not balanced.
Never. It isn't balanced, but we signed up for the bits that we wanted.
But
we
whatever you agreed to, you agreed to, so, you know.
That's true. Anyway.
One final point.
Uh-oh.
Right? Britain's doing really well. I've been in the doldrums, you've been in the doldrums, Rachel's been in the doldrums, and all of a sudden, sometimes, your fiscal position turns round and it starts to get good again. What's the first thing you have to do? You have to pay your tax on it, and you moan about it. In a way, because of the charter that we signed, there's no difference.
All right. Anyway, Tesco chairman Sir Richard Broadbent has quit as well. And I can't believe this for a company the size of Tesco's, but the profits have fallen by a whopping great 91%. In the last 6 months. And I had to go and have a look at this because I couldn't believe it.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
It is unbelievable. And do you know why?
What?
How could a company drop 91%?
Well, that's the thing. That's what's unbelievable about
it. There's a hole in their bucket.
There is a hole in their accounting system.
Their tomatoes are very good, though.
Which I think is the reason why it all went wrong.
They lied about their profits. That's where it's all gone wrong. They lied about the profits.
that seems like skewy figures to me. To drop that, to have a massive drop like that, something must have been reported incorrectly to begin with.
Yes. And in the midst of all that, the actual operating boss, Dave Lewis, was told to cut prices, get more staff and improve the quality of the produce, which again seems a bit odd when you've got a potential police investigation into a £263 million scandal.
Absolutely.
You've got a whole load of things going on, and I don't think I'm reading the right report, to be honest. Just my opinion.
Well, you're not really, no, but the simple fact is that Tesco, in its wisdom, inexplicably, appears to have lied about a massive profit, and the police are looking into it, and they've lost credibility all right across the country.
No, they haven't lost credibility, they've lost the plot.
Well, in the eyes of the consumer, they've lost credibility.
No, they're like so many. I wonder if this happens with Rach as well, where you get a company come in. Now, in the beginning, Tesco were a little, you know, cheap shop. The decor was, to say the least, dodgy. It was horrible. And yet what's happened is they've grown up. They've become a big corporate. All corporate rules have applied. Then in comes the new kids on the block, and in our case, Aldi and Lidl have come in, putting boxes on the floor, doing it really cost-effectively, giving you some good stuff at very low prices.
Aldi, people love Aldi here. It's pack your own groceries and pick things up off a pallet. I refuse to shop there. But,
You shop snob!
No, I won't do it. I go shopping and I don't want to be... If I wanted to pick things up off the ground, I'd buy a farm.
No,
and I will not do it. I will not do it. I'll pay the extra money to be able to pick things up off... not the ground, and be supplied with my packaging.
Do you know, boys and girls?
Have a nice girl packet for me.
Exactly, boys and girls. This is Rachel's dream. She goes into the shop. There's a man with a straw boater on, wearing an apron, going, "Hello, madam. May I collect your groceries for you?" And at the same time, she then goes, "I'll take them to the cash point for you. And would madam like them taken to the car?" That's Rachel shopping!
Yeah, but
I do that. That's when I do it online, when I'm...
That's exactly what I was going to say. It exists online. That form of shopping exists online. Oh. You've got to remember that what Eric said is perfectly true, that Tesco's were, at one point, the new kid on the block, they were hungry, they were desperate to make their way in the world, and they did it, and they became this big. And then they wanted to become the new Sainsbury's and the new Waitrose and the new posh shops.
So have they gone all up themselves?
Exactly. Yes. They became the fat cats that sold stuff and just thought, had the arrogance to make things up, to sell to the public, to make people believe they were better than they were, and now they've been shown up as liars.
No, I think they've just been had the rug pulled from under them, to be honest.
Have they got a mental
illness?
The same thing. Are they suffering from delusions of grandeur? And
probably.
I think that's exactly it. Yeah, really.
I think
do.
Most corporations have to go through that at some point. Anyway, I couldn't believe this when I saw this up on my computer screen, which it did in the top right-hand corner. And I had to look twice, and then three times. Then I had to go on the interweb and check it. In the Parliament in Canada, this geezer gets dumped. He nicks a car. He stole a car. Drives across the capital. Police are chasing him. He runs into the Parliament wielding this gun. And the one person I'd love to think it would happen in England if the same situation was there. But like the equivalent of the person called Black Rod in England, the guy that's supposed to look after the House of Commons and everything, grabs his gun and goes chasing after this geezer. And I thought, what a bloke!
Awesome. Did you guys see the footage? I saw some footage this morning of this Sergeant at Arms, this legend Sergeant at Arms, and he was walking. He was opening Parliament again today, as he was supposed to.
Yep.
And he got a standing ovation from all the MPs. It was brilliant. This guy's a retired police officer, and he happened to be packing that day.
Yeah.
So it's so funny. He retired from the police force to go and take this really nice, quiet Sergeant at Arms job, but he ends up shooting this dude. It was brilliant. But you know what? Yeah, it's funny that you say you had to look twice. Three times. When I heard this, I wasn't surprised in the least bit. Not in the least bit.
Really?
It didn't come as a shock to me at all.
Why?
I was waiting for something. Because these people are nuts, and they've been nuts all over the world, and stuff that's been going on here.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for somebody to breach something somewhere.
Oh, I see what you mean. It was gonna.
You know what I mean? I thought, this is going to happen. It's a numbers game. These people are doing crazy things, and they're going to breach something somewhere because somebody was asleep on the job.
Well, but apparently they took his passport away, didn't they? That's what upset him.
They did, and he got very upset because he wanted to go to Syria and pretend, and become a mercenary. But he's, good on you. But the thing, the Canadians have always prided themselves on the fact that they will not be, they will not have barbed wire fences around their buildings, and they will not do this and they will not do that. And good for them too.
Absolutely. Well, as one of the senators, one of the senators actually said, it's going to be business as usual. And I thought, good man, good man.
You've got to
quickly, Lee, because we're going to move on.
Well, you've got to look at this sensibly, though, haven't you? You know, first of all, this bloke wasn't by himself. In the stolen car, the video showed clearly that four other men got out of the car and headed for the building. We also got to remember that this bloke was actually the son of the country's immigration chief.
I know.
And so where was the watch on people like that? He was telling people, he was openly saying that he was going to go out and join the Islamists. He was saying that the devil was on his shoulder. And he'd got this really bad court record behind him as well. Mm. And yet, a minister's son was left to his own devices and ended up doing this. No matter what Canada says, and I do admire Canada for saying that it will be business as usual, but no matter what Canada says, it has to tighten up in this day and age.
Of course.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, they do everywhere.
Nobody should be able to breach a parliament in that manner.
No,
ever.
They have to
tighten the screws. They have to tighten the screws. But
go on, Rachel.
But they don't have to, you know, build concrete walls around themselves, and they won't. I agree with that entirely.
But I think
they've got to tighten the screws.
I do think they've also got to tighten the screws on the numpties that are wrecking the lives of young people. So much so that they don't get their lives wrecked, because some of these guys don't have the brain cells suitable to make a decision themselves. They are indoctrinated, and the people who indoctrinate them, I don't think are any better than any other murderer, to be honest.
I agree with you entirely, but that's a different area to be looking into. We're looking at the moment at the way that Canada is going to protect itself against it. You see, Australia's been brought into it. Australia's never been a grand area for terrorism attacks before, has it, Rachel?
No, it really hasn't.
Canada's become, although this, you know, sounds like it could be a homegrown thing, it's still been attacked. And all these things that were on the outskirts, who've always led a sort of tacit, given a tacit help towards the fight against terrorism, are now becoming targets. And so they have to look after themselves. The difference between them looking after themselves and all of us as a conglomerate looking at dismembering this awful organisation that's causing these bombings, that's a different thing.
Absolutely. We are going to finish on one very happy note as we come, seriously, very quickly, to the end of part one. Michael Schumacher's doctors say that Schumi could well be on his way back to recovery. It might take another 3 years yet. Apparently, Michael's no longer in a coma. It's a statement that's been released. And I applaud the media for going with this and not taking stupid pictures. He is apparently slowly getting better. He's got a huge team of 15 people around him, but he does still remain immobilised, unable to speak. But when you think how this started, and if he's got to this level, that's an amazing fight, isn't it?
Of course it is. And why can't he have his picture taken?
Because it's private at the moment.
Well, why is it private? He's a public figure, and
no,
if he's
not
coming home,
he's a sick man. End of story.
He's still a public figure. Well, then we shouldn't be broadcasting this, then. We shouldn't be saying this about him. It shouldn't have got published.
No, it should have done, because it came out from the people that count, the family. That's the end of part one, boys and girls. We have to go to a little commercial break thing. Otherwise, I get told off by everybody, and then sort of, you know, it's not very nice. But we'll be back in a minute.
If your dream holiday is 2 hours from the UK, perfect for children and teenagers, young couples and the older visitor, ideal for the physically active and for those who just want to unwind, Aqua City is the destination for you. Described by the Travel Channel as the place that will soon be on everybody's lips, be ahead of the crowd and the envy of your friends, but still enjoy a home from home. Come to Aqua City Poprad, the world's leading green resort.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.